This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Elgin Talks. My name is Andrew Lowry. I'm a content manager here at Elgin, and I'm delighted to be joined by Hedel Mehta, who is our senior European economist. We're here to talk interest rates after the recent spate of central bank meetings. Hedel, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's good to be here, Andrew.
Last week, the Bank of England took its base rate up 0.5% to 4%, just after the ECB took its rate to 2.5%. And not long before that, the Fed took its base rate between 4.5% and 4.75%. Now, not long ago, this would have been a pretty shocking situation, but hikes like this are becoming routine. Is there anything new that we conclude from these hikes?
Well, 50 basis point rate hikes are actually not so common in recent history. So seeing a string of them from the Bank of England and also the ECB is, I guess, commensurate to the inflation situation that central banks are facing right now. I guess it's not shocking if you look at the fact that we've got inflation at historical highs. What has probably been a surprise for many people, though, and us included, to some extent, is just how determined central banks are to keep increasing interest rates, even though recession is looming. And maybe it's a function of the wage data that has been, uniformly stronger than most people expected. So in that context, it's not shocking. But if you'd said a year ago, where is inflation going to be? Where is wage growth going to be? No one would have expected this.
Can we draw any meaningful distinctions between what's been going on in the US and Europe? Jerome Powell's been saying things that seem designed to cool down the markets, but they don't appear to be listening to him.
So I think what's been going on in the US is that the Fed has consistently been saying that they need to tighten policy more. They want tighter financial conditions so that helps to bring inflation down. But the market's been looking for that relief of we're at the end of the hiking cycle. And then we keep seeing a loosening of financial conditions. So equities rallying, for example, and that as far as the Fed is concerned, is actually unhelpful for their objective of getting inflation down. And they have to almost bang the drum even harder when it comes to their determination to get rates down. I mean, in Europe, it's a similar dynamic. I think where maybe the distinction is on European growth just structurally being weaker, people being much more convinced that Europe, given the inflation and gas price shock, would experience a recession, have been looking to the ECB as the one place where they won't be able to get away with such a rapid increase in rates, and that they're going to have to stop pretty soon. So I think that's the main distinction. It's on on the basis of a recession, how far can the ECB carry on, or does the recession do the work for them? Clearly in the US, there are many people who believe there's going to be a soft landing, and so you're not going to get that inflation squeeze coming through. We're more in the camp that actually there's going to be a recession on both sides of the Atlantic.
Keeping the focus on home, what outcomes are we seeing for Bank of England policy? The government is committed to halving inflation by the end of the year. Is the bank going to get Rishi Sunak out of a tight spot?
So in terms of trying to get inflation to half of where it currently is, a lot of the work is going to just happen automatically. We will have base effects that fall out of the inflation calculation. Obviously, energy prices won't be increasing as much this spring as they did last year. At least we hope not. And then we've also seen the subsequent decline, very sharp decline in wholesale gas prices. So inflation is going to come down. The energy part of inflation is going to come down, and that's really going to achieve a large part of the promise to get inflation down without anyone really having to pull policy levers specifically. The difficult thing is going to be getting inflation down even more. So halving inflation, getting it down below 5%, they say, should be quite straightforward. The difficult part outcomes for the Bank of England in terms of generating enough financial pressure to squeeze inflation out? Now, this is not something that really is in the policy space for the government. This is for the Bank of England. It's their job to get inflation down. But we think it's going to be quite hard. We've got a lot of second round effects from people asking for higher wages, which then feeds back into core inflation as firms pass those costs on, and we get that wage inflation spiral. So this is why the Bank of England is talking aggressively about being determined to cut, get inflation down through higher interest rates. But I think what we've seen over the last few months is clearly a very aggressive hiking cycle. From here, the Bank of England, I think they're trying to communicate, they know they've put a lot of tightening into the system. It's going to take a while to feed through. Everyone who has a fixed rate mortgage is going to almost certainly refinance over the next few months, couple of years. They're going to refinance onto higher interest rates. That is going to take demand out of the economy and therefore reduce inflationary pressures. I think where we're at is a pause in policy. Now, given where inflation is, the Bank of England are saying they're worried about upside risks. They're going to wait and see how the data pan out. But right now they're saying the onus is on more inflation upside surprises would force their hands to tighten, whereas it's not a done deal as maybe it was in the last few rate hikes that there is more tightening to come.
Is the bank being asked to do too much? I mean, I don't want to get you bogged down in monetary theory, but there are a lot of factors in inflation which are beyond their control. Is it a tall order for any set of policymakers?
I think to blame the Bank of England for the double-digit inflation we're experiencing now would be unfair. They do not control the geopolitical landscape. They don't control energy prices. So to some extent, yes, it's tough. What they can do, though, is to make sure that those shocks to the system don't become permanent. So temporary shocks, which can wash out, they need to make sure that they convey their intention to bring inflation down. And it's those second round effects that I mentioned earlier that they need to stop from taking hold. So we've had periods in the past where inflation has spiked because of energy prices, and many central banks look through that to a point. It's just about making sure they don't let the expectation of high inflation become embedded in the system. So they do have a lot can do. We'll see higher interest rates. The value of sterling is something that, again, central banks don't tend to focus on the currency as a tool. But certainly it's a byproduct of increasing your interest rates should it cause your currency to appreciate, and that in turn feeds through as well. So they can influence things, and they can stop other things that they can't influence becoming embedded in the system.
Now, you mentioned earlier that our house view is a recession is more likely than not in the UK at some point this year. But there are other analysts and commentators that have softened their views somewhat recently. But meanwhile, there are darker views on offer from people like the IMF and so on. It is a confusing picture out there. But do you think that there is any cause for people to grab on to any optimistic outlook they can find, or are we still facing a gloomy year ahead?
To some extent, it depends on where you sit on the savings versus borrowings spectrum. If you're a net saver and interest rates are going up, you're now actually able to get some reasonable rate of return on your cash. But from the economic perspective, it's still going to be a tough year. The rate increases we've seen so far are yet to feed through, because in some ways, let's take our housing market, for instance, people are protected by fixed rate mortgages, which mean they don't face an instant increase in their mortgage payments as soon as the Bank of England increases their rates. But at some point, they will be refinancing onto higher rates, and that's going to be tough. We will see a recession, we think, in the UK, and the IMF really pointing out that the UK is going to experience the most pronounced downturn of the G7 economies, and we would agree with that. We're actually below consensus in terms of our view for the UK. The optimistic bit is that, you know, we're getting to the end of the rate hiking cycle. The downturn will be painful, but we're also not expecting too many job losses. So the potential growth of the economy is quite low. The Bank of England, in their last set of forecasts, put it at just 0.7% a year. We put it at something like that, maybe, if you're being optimistic, 1%. So when you have that undershooting growth, you actually need quite a big undershoot to get unemployment rising. And, you know, just that more sluggish trend growth that we have means we probably won't see a huge rise in unemployment, nothing like we saw back in 2008 or the 1990s. So in that sense, we can feel optimistic. The most optimistic, as I said earlier, people who, maybe with some cash savings, who are getting a bit of interest that they haven't had for quite a long time.
Well, that's a relatively hopeful end to note on, which makes quite a refreshing change. Hedel, thank you very much for your time, and I'll speak to you again soon on Eldon Talks.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.